guest here on WCCO Radio. I'm Moose Miller, sitting in tonight for Jordana Green. We'll check some weather and then completely change gears. Talking with our good friend from the St. Paul Pioneer Press, Julio Ojeda Zapata is going to join us. And we'll talk about the iPhone 5 and, man, record sales. The first pre-orders out in 24 hours. 2 million phones were ordered, pre-ordered. Holy cow. The impact that Apple is expected to have on fourth quarter GDP and also some of the other possible goodies that may be out there before Christmas. We'll visit on all of that coming up here in this next half hour. And maybe even take some of your phone calls if you've got some questions here and there. Because I definitely want to get Julio's take on some of the other apps or websites out there where you can make money just through using your smartphone and get it deposited into PayPal or whatever else. It's just amazing how much stuff is popping up there. One of them that was brought to my attention today called Fiverr. And we'll explain how you get $5 just like that. It's coming up here on News Radio 830 WCCO. Yeah, I think that was the executives at Apple. They're watching the pre-sale numbers coming in. Moose Miller heading into the home stretch here. Mishki coming in here at 10 o'clock. I'm so glad you're hanging out here with us tonight. Thought we'd visit on the iPhone 5 and some of the newer stuff coming out from Apple. What do you know? Just in time for Christmas. I'm telling you right now, I think it's going to be an interesting battle heating up in the tablet market for Apple going up against Amazon and Nook and all of this stuff out there. And to help us make sense of things and shed a little bit more light on this is Julio Ojeda Zapata from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Does a great job at the consumer tech reporting in his column. Welcome once again to WCCO.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. I was kind of surprised that the numbers for, what was it, the first 24-hour period for Apple on that iPhone 5 on pre-orders?
Yeah, iPhone users are pretty hungry for a redesigned phone. We've had the same redesign for a couple of years. Obviously, a lot of people are up for renewal on their contracts.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of hunger for, you know, a phone iPhone that's a little different. And so consumers were really, really primed to pounce, and Apple products just in general are pretty popular. So the sales numbers don't surprise me.
The 5 is going to be a little bit taller or longer, but it still looks like it's going to be the same width.
Yeah, same width, a little thinner, a little lighter, a little longer. In terms of look, it's fairly similar. It doesn't have glass on the back, which is kind of a boneheaded idea because the phone would break easily. So it's metal on the back, you know, glass on the front, so it'll be a little more durable.
And as far as the impact on the economy, are you buying into this fourth quarter GDP that Apple may actually kind of boost and push that number up a little bit all by itself?
Well, Apple is, you know, pretty big. I mean, depending on how you measure it, it's the or one of the, you know, the biggest companies in the world, and it just wields an enormous impact on technology, on, you know, popular culture, on consumer behavior. So it really does move the needle. So if that doesn't surprise me either.
Anything come out of this iPhone 5 demo and launch party or whatever you want to call it that surprised you and caused you to raise eyebrows and go, wow, this is innovative or different. Wasn't expecting that.
Nothing. Practically everything that was announced had already been leaked, you know, in rumors. And so there was very little.
See, that's where I was underwhelmed.
Yeah, and that's a very interesting point because a lot of tech journalists right now are having a big debate about that. Some tech journalists are sort of yawning and saying, you know, this is boring. but then consumers are absolutely going crazy. There's this increasing disconnect between jaded tech journalists and the public at large who's really obsessed with Apple.
Hey, I'm excited. I get to go out and buy a new 19-pin connector instead of being able to use the one I used to be able to use.
Oh, man, don't get me started on that. I've got docks and cradles and syncing cords, you know, up the wazoo at work, at home, in the car, everywhere.
Why did they do this?
It's really, that's pretty annoying.
Why?
Well, from Apple's point of view, it does make sense. The old connector has a lot of outdated video technologies into it. There's a lot of stuff in the connector that is no longer used. It takes up a lot of space. It prevents Apple, you know, from building ever smaller, ever thinner devices. It's kind of a pain because if you try to push it in the wrong way, it doesn't go in. So from all the technological points of view, it makes perfect sense. The only problem is the transition is going to be a little painful.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so a lot of people are going to be annoyed. But this has happened before. You know, when Apple released its first iMac, it said, you know, bye-bye floppy disk, and everybody went apeshit. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they certainly went crazy.
Yeah.
And as far as what becomes of Apple with these other tablet products and competition there?
Well, Apple, you know, there's very strong rumors that Apple will release a smaller, possibly 7-inch iPad, which makes perfect sense because there are a lot of tablets that size now, and Apple sort of wants to be playing in that pool. Right now, I've got a Nexus 7 tablet from Google, you know, very nice tablet. I've been playing with the new 8-inch Kindle HD tablet. Mm-hmm. And they're all very, very nice tablets, but nobody really nails this like Apple, in my opinion. I'm a big user of Google services, so a Google tablet makes a lot of sense to me and get a lot of use out of it. But there aren't a ton of really good tablet-specific apps for Google tablets, whereas on the Apple side, there's just an insane.
Yeah, that's the thing I come back to too, Julio. Yeah, exactly. But you know, if there's one company out there that could scale up on the actual physical production of tablets, I would think it would be Google. But as you just pointed out, they just don't have the software end of it, the appware to go with it.
Yeah, well, Google. Here's the deal with Google. The operating system for their phones and their tablets used to be really terrible, really clunky, very awkward, ugly. They've made great strides. They always give their operating system a code name that is a pastry. Right now, they're on Jelly Bean, and the Jelly Bean operating system and Android 4.1 is excellent. It's really, really good, and that's really creating some enthusiasm among developers, and a lot of the really good apps that had existed solely on the Apple side are now migrating over to Google. So the whole situation is starting to change. You can get Flipboard and Instagram and Instapaper, some really good apps that people really love on the Apple side are now starting to pop up on the Android side. So that whole situation is starting to change. Ask me in a year or two, and the whole situation may be dramatically different. It's still though, it's all about the apps, and if you really care about really good apps, Apple is still the king.
And what about the concerns over the copyright patent lawsuit that Samsung lost to Apple in some courts around the globe? Is that going to affect people holding back and maybe not jumping in on that Galaxy 3S or any of those types of phones?
Yeah, I don't think most consumers are really tuned into that, number one. And number two, that litigation mostly, to a very large extent, deals with some older models in the Samsung line that are being phased out, and the current model, such as the very good Galaxy S3 phone, fantastic, really fantastic phone, and it's not very Apple-like anymore. I mean, Samsung has put a lot of work into, you know, making it very distinct so it doesn't create more legal troubles for itself. It's got a lot of bells and whistles in there that Apple devices do not have, and so it's on the phone side, things are really competitive because the phones that are competing with the iPhone are excellent, in many ways superior to the iPhone. So it's
Julio,
apples and oranges, but you have some really good choices out there.
I got to take a break here. When we come back, I thought maybe we could wrap up with some thoughts on different websites and also smartphone or iPhone apps that can make you money. The one that I just came across today called Fiverr, you earn $5. you know, pretty quick. And it's interesting how that economy is developing, not only here, but also in China. Tom Friedman wrote a real interesting column over the weekend on that whole trust-based economy that's actually taking root over there and what that means for all of us moving forward with regard to things like PayPal and, you know, electronic currency and everything else. So fascinating stuff we'll get to on the other side of this break. Moose Miller sitting in tonight for Jordana Green here on News Radio 830 WCCO. So we decided in this final segment here on News Radio 830 WCCO, when it comes to using your smartphone and that type of technology, how about doing good things with it, figuring out how to use your smartphone to make you money. There's all kinds of ways out there, websites, and now they've tied into apps and smartphones. One of them that I was made aware of today, and we're visiting with Julio Ojeda Zapata from the St. Paul Pioneer Press on tech and all of that, was called Fiverr, $5 tasks. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't. Why don't you tell me?
Yeah, it was, I think it came up earlier today. My wife was telling me about it. I think she caught it on the Today Show. But Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R, two R's, and people just put on there just different little jobs or tasks that they need done. And you're paid $5. I think it goes to like your PayPal account. One guy that they pointed out does an Alec Baldwin impersonation and was making like $1,000 to $2,000 a month calling people's voicemails or whatever and leaving, you know, an Alec Baldwin message.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, there's a whole segment of the economy that's emerging where the internet and mobile devices and such allow people to engage in a wide variety of interesting new transactions. Like, there's a service called TaskRabbit. Say you need your lawn mowed, or you need somebody to do groceries for you. You know, there's something you need done and you don't have time. You can put it on TaskRabbit and have people sort of bid for the job.
Wow.
I mean, there are whole bunch of services like that are emerging, which are really interesting. There are services, some of these are not active in the Twin Cities yet, but there are services, for instance, where if your car isn't being used that much, you can actually have people rent your own car.
Kind of like the Zipcar thing that's starting to develop here in the U.S.
Except it's your car.
Yeah.
Like our car is a car rental service here in the Twin Cities, and I can just walk down the street and hop in because I've already rented it ahead of time. But that our car has its own fleet. These services work on a similar model, but with people's own cars, which is very interesting.
Wow. Great stuff, and always a pleasure visiting with you, Julio.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it.
From the St. Paul Pioneer Press, the consumer tech reporter and columnist, Julio Ojeda Zapata. Check his stuff out there. Moose Miller, glad that we could hang out here tonight. We'll do the same thing again tomorrow night.